Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Vita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Vita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai
Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Welcome everyone. Hope everyone is okay. We're carrying on this evening. We're carrying on with our discussion on lessons from the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Incidentally, anyone who'd like, there's some chairs here. If anyone would like to sit in a chair, feel free. So now, this evening, we are going, before we go into the subject matter for the evening's discussion, we are going to recite these verses which are on this sheet which we've all just been handed. This is called Sri Sri Shikshashtaka. These are the eight prayers written by Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is the most recent incarnation of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He appeared 521 years ago. Last week, Saturday, was the anniversary. He spoke and did a lot. And the majority of what he spoke was written down later by his closest associates, particularly the six Goswamis. But he himself didn't really write. He didn't really write very much at all. Not that he was not able, he was perfectly able to write in Bengali and Sanskrit, and in any language for that matter. But he chose to speak and have other people record his words and expand on them and explain them. But he himself did write eight verses, which are these verses here, Shikshastika. Shiksha means instructions, instruction, and Ashtaka means eight. So eight instructions. These are very essential instructions in Krishna consciousness, so we will recite these verses. I think we can just do it together. Let's try together simultaneously. And if you have difficulty with the Sanskrit, just listen. But if you can, just recite along with us. We will be moving along a little, so if you can keep up, okay. If not, just listen, and then I'm sure we can all read the Sanskrit together simultaneously. So here we go with verse 1. Chetu darpana marjanam bhava mahadaragni nirvapanam shreya kailava chandrika vitaranam vijyavadi jivanam anandam buddhi vardhanam pratipadam punam ritasvadanam Sarvatma Snatanam Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated through years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life of repeated birth and death. This Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental bliss, and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. Nam nam akari bahudani to sarvashaktis, tatrapita niyamata smarane makala, ekadrishi tavakrita bhagavan namapi, yurgaiva nidrishami hajani nani raga. O my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction to the living beings, and thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda. In these transcendental names you've invested all your transcendental energies. There are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. O my Lord, out of kindness you enable us to easily approach you by your holy names. But I'm so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them. Chunarapi samichena tarorapi sahishnana amanina amanadena kirtaniya sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw of the street. One should be more troubled than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamayim mama janmani janmanishvare bhavata bhaktira haitikli tvayim. O Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. I only want your causeless devotional service, birth after birth. I nanda tanaja kinkaram Hatitam nam vishame bhavanbhoda. Kripaya tavakad pankaja. Stita duli sadrisham vichintaha. Son of Maharaj Nanda, Krishna, I am your eternal servitor. Yet somehow or other I've fallen into the ocean of birth and death. He is picking me up from this ocean of death and placing me as one of the atoms. Nayanam gadadashri dharaya. Vadanam gadgara vihayagira, pulakar nichitam vabhukada, tavanama brahane bhavishyati. O my Lord, when will my eyes be decorated with tears of love, burn constantly when I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up, and when will the hairs of my body stand on end at the recitation of your name? Vihayitam nimeshena chakshusha vabhishayitam, Shunyaitam jagat sarvam govinda virahena me. O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. The tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I'm feeling all hatred in the world in your absence. Asvishiva padaratam parashtima, adarshanam mamahatam karotuva, yatatata va vidhidatu lampato. I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and he shall remain so even if he handles me roughly by his embrace, or makes me broken-hearted by not being present before me. He is completely free to do anything and everything, for he is always my worshipful Lord and Krishna. Sri Sri Shastika Ki. Hare Krishna. So these are the 8 verses of instruction written by Lord Chaitanya, the most recent incarnation of the Supreme Lord Krishna. And this evening we're continuing on with our seminar on lessons from the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. As we said, he is the most recent incarnation of the Supreme Lord. And in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna 5,000 years ago, Lord Krishna said, yada yada hi dharmasya glaniya bhavati bharata abhyutanama dharmasya tadatmanam sri jamyaham. Whenever and wherever there's a decline in religious principles and a prominent rise of irreligion, then at that time I descend myself. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuga yuga. In order to deliver the pious, annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. So these are the words of Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. 5,000 years ago, he appears from time to time, not just at that time. He has appeared before. He has appeared since. He will appear again, not immediately, but in due course. Yeah. And the most recent incarnation was 521 years ago, on the Saturday just past. That was the anniversary. We celebrated all over the world the appearance day of Lord Chaitanya. So he appeared in order to demonstrate and teach the prescribed or preferred, recommended process of religion or spiritual development in this age, which is the process of chanting the names of the Supreme Lord. So he demonstrated that, he did it himself profusely, and he taught that by instructing in so many ways, as we mentioned. And his activities are very amazing. Very, very amazing. There are a number of biographies. We are mainly taking the examples we're giving here over these days from Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the most extensive of the biographies. Many thousands of verses, actually, I'm not sure even how many, but it must be, oh anyway, it's a good few thousand. So now, this evening, this is the fourth evening. We've already had three. We still have tonight and tomorrow. Those of you who have not been here the last few nights, well, it would have been nice if you were here, but it's not like it's going to make things more difficult for you to follow just coming in this evening, because each night the information is sort of like self-contained. Certain specific incidents and principles and points are being emphasized and drawn out. So this evening, well, let us say that on the first evening, we talked about, it was a somewhat involved discussion, but it was focusing around one great devotee. His name was Kalidas. Kalidas. He was a follower of Lord Chaitanya, and he was a very remarkable person. According to Chaitanya Charitamrita, he got more mercy from Lord Chaitanya than anyone. Yes. He was more dear to Lord Chaitanya than anyone. And how did he manage that? Simple principle. He served the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. He served and glorified and appreciated the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. In fact, Jiva Goswami, one of our great teachers from the same time, basically, Jiva Goswami, one of the six Goswamis, he says in his extensive essay, Bhakti Sandhava, an essay on the process of devotional service, Jiva Goswami says that serving the devotees of the Lord is a more effective way of developing love for the Lord than trying to develop love for the Lord. Interesting. Very interesting idea. Interesting idea. You know, it's reflected, the principle is reflected as far as I can see, it's reflected in the idea in Christianity. For those of you who are familiar with Christianity, Christ is supposed to have said, according to John, he is supposed to have said that no one can come to the Father other than through me. Interesting. Of course, you know, the Christians, or at least many of the Christians, take that to mean that Jesus is the only way, full stop, end of story. But we don't agree with that, because we have seen many, 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 many examples of people who have come to the Lord, very clearly come to the Lord. But not that they had anything against Jesus, but they were just in other cultures. So, you know, they took that route, and they definitely came to the Lord. But the principle which is there, as we mentioned, is that we have to approach the Lord through the devotees. We cannot, so to speak, gate crash the kingdom of God, if you know what I mean. Just go storming in. Here I am. It's me. The great me. If one at least is coming from material existence and, you know, very much separated from the Lord, then to again connect with the Lord and enter the company of the Lord, that of course is the goal. But it is not that you just do it just like that. No. It may not be such a simple thing. But by the mercy of those who are already close to the Lord and who know the Lord and who the Lord himself knows, then by their mercy one can easily approach the Supreme Lord, even if one is not really qualified oneself. Hare Krishna. That's okay. Hare Krishna. Please make yourselves comfortable. Right, so that was on the first night, that was what we talked about. This devotee Kalidas, how he got special, special mercy from the Supreme Lord, because he appreciated the devotees so much and served them and glorified them. That was his life. Then the second night we talked about someone who was, you could say, at the other end of the scale. He was meant to be a devotee, but unfortunately got extremely severely sidetracked by becoming envious. Envious and critical and finding faults with the other devotees. And it was a long story, but eventually he came to the point he tried to find fault with the Lord himself. And in this way he created a spiritually disastrous situation. Then last night we talked about Haridas Thakur, a very great devotee, and of people who he was able to get through to and help, and who therefore were benefited tremendously. And again, on the other hand, people who were envious of him and who just got no good result as a result. So this evening, we're going to discuss a story, a narration, which I find extremely interesting. It's very vivid. It's quite dramatic in some ways. And there's a very important example to learn at the end. You know, like these examples and lessons which are coming out of these different pastimes. The pastimes, in some cases, may be, you know, quite extraordinary, and by our standards, you know, sort of like in a different realm to the realm we're in, and therefore we might feel that they may not be so relevant because the people involved, they're just sort of, you know, they're very different, in many cases much more advanced than us. So how would it apply to us? But the principles are there, and the principles are general and broad and applicable if we listen carefully and try and take it to heart. We'll see how we can apply the principles. So now the principle here this evening, and at least in the first narration we're going to go through, and we'll see how much time we have maybe for a second one, but the principle here is that one should try to be humble and unassuming, and one should not sort of promote oneself and push oneself forward, that here I am, people, it's me, it's your lucky day because I can. No, not like that. But one should be very humble, unassuming, and dependent on the Lord's mercy, and confident of the Lord's mercy. Not too quick to doubt, is the Lord going to help me here, or am I just going to find myself on my own and everything will fall to pieces because there's no one there to help me? So let's go through the story. This is the story of a devotee named Mukunda Dutt. Actually, he's a very famous devotee. His brother was Vasudev Dutt, who was at least as famous. And before I recite the story, I'm going to read two verses which come at the end of the story. These two verses are called Phala Stuti. Phala means fruit, and Stuti means prayer or verse, like that. Phala Stuti, so it means some prayer or verse which explains the fruit or the result that will come from something which has just been described. So at the end of this narration, there are these two phalastutis which explain the benefit, the result of simply hearing the narration. And I'm going to read them at the beginning rather than at the end, although they come at the end. because that may encourage you all to listen, you know, during the course rather than we get to the end and then you think, oh, I should have listened more. So now, first verse, Phalastuti. Anyone who hears these prayers of Mukunda will sing with him. What does that mean? It means Mukunda, Dat, is an eternal associate of the Lord. He descended from the kingdom of God with the Lord, returned with the Lord. He's always present with the Lord in the kingdom of God. And wherever the Lord goes to give his mercy to the conditioned souls in this world, the Kundadat is always there singing. This is his particular thing. He is a singer for the pleasure of the Lord. So anyone who hears these prayers in the Kunda will sing with him. Means will be with him always. Means will be with the Lord always. This is very special. And then second, anyone who feels happiness by hearing these narrations will certainly meet Lord Chaitanya face to face. So these are Phalastutis. So now, in this particular story, when Lord Chaitanya was living in Navadweep, in Bengal, and it was before he left home and went to Jagannath Puri. It was while he was still living there in Navadweep, the place of his appearance, and just gradually preparing for his mission of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. So, Lord Chaitanya at this point was, you know, sort of like early 20s. But his program was every day, he and his associates, the other devotees, would gather every evening in the house of one of the devotees, Srivas. Srivas had a big house with a big open courtyard. And the devotees would gather there in the evening and they would have kirtan, chanting Hare Krishna, all night. And those kirtans were just out of this world. And of course it was an open courtyard, so the sound would go out and people would hear this incredible singing. It's most amazing. And many people would come and gather outside and they would want to come in and see, but they couldn't because the doors were locked. So these are called the nocturnal pastimes, kirtan pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. So one night at Shivas Thakur's house, Lord Chaitanya, he was generally acting as a devotee, even though he is the Supreme Lord. We explained about this one or two nights ago, that when Lord Chaitanya appeared, that he did not so much show that he is the Supreme Lord as Krishna did, for example. Krishna, at least from time to time, would make some massive mystical display, which sometimes many people would see, and it was just like completely mind-boggling, and people would understand, wow, he is not an ordinary person at all. And many would understand, actually, he's the Supreme Lord. But Lord Chaitanya, he did that, but not often at all. If he ever did it, it was amongst the devotees. And generally he was acting as a devotee himself. But amongst the devotees, occasionally he would show the fact that he was the Supreme Lord. So one of those evenings in Shivas Thakur's house, Lord Chaitanya revealed the fact that he was the Supreme Lord to the devotees who were there. This was the first time that he did that, and this is called the Mahaprakash Leela. Prakash means like enlightenment in this context. Mahaprakash Leela, the pastime of the great revelation, the great enlightenment. For some 20 hours, Lord Chaitanya sat on the altar and called the different devotees forward one by one and showed them the particular form of himself that they had their eternal relationship with, because the Lord has so many forms and different devotees are eternally connected with different particular forms. Like, for example, there was one devotee, he was a doctor, Murari Gupta. He was a very prominent doctor in that area. But he would not just cure people's colds and so on, just their regular diseases, their blood pressure and cholesterol and sniffles and indigestion and things. He would do that. But while he was doing that, he would cure their spiritual diseases and make them into devotees of the Lord. So he was a doctor in both ways, materially and spiritually. So this Murari Gupta, he was a great devotee, and he was a member of that group, and they would gather with Lord Chaitanya every evening. So that night, Lord Chaitanya, he was calling this devotee, that devotee, so many devotees, one after the other, for 20 hours. In the middle of it all, he called for Murari Gupta. He said, "Murari, come here." Murari came. He said, "Murari, look at me. Look at me, Murari." Murari looked at him. Lord Chaitanya. Who did he see? He saw Lord Ram, Lord Ramachandra. And on Lord Chaitanya's right was Lord Nityananda. But when Murari looked at Lord Nityananda, he saw him not as Nityananda, but Lakshma. And he saw Sita there. All Ram Leela. And Lord Chaitanya asked Murari, "What do you see, Murari? Tell me what you see." And Murari said, I see you as Lord Ram. I see Lakshman and I see Sita." And he's just completely overwhelmed. And he said, "My Lord, but one thing, I don't see Hanuman. Where's Hanuman?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "Murari, look at yourself, Murari." And Murari looked at himself and he saw he was Hanuman. So he is Hanuman, actually. But in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, he appears as Murari Gupta. Many of these associates, not all, but many, they appear every time, or at least many times, when the Lord appears in many different forms. But they appear in forms which are appropriate to that particular form the Lord is taking there, at that appearance. So like this. So things were going on like this. Lord Chaitanya called everyone. Over this period of about 20 hours, there are many, many devotees. And there are all these amazing things happening, just like we described with Murarigupta. And then eventually Lord Chaitanya told Srivas, whose place it was, he said, okay, Srivas, that's it. That's the end. And Lord Chaitanya had called everyone except Mukunda Dutt. He called everyone except Mukunda Dutt. He called his brother Vasudev Dutt, but not him. And everyone was wondering why, because Mukunda was a very special devotee. He was a singer, as we mentioned, and very amazing singer. He was not, you know, like the current day top of the pops. I'm totally out of touch, but you know, whoever's top of the pops nowadays, or Bollywood favorites. Not like that. Not like that. When he would sing, sometimes rocks would melt. What to speak of people's hearts melting by the sweetness of his singing and the depth of the songs he was singing. But rocks would melt. It was just really, literally out of this world. And he could sing and sing and sing and sing. There was another devotee who was his friend who was called Vakreshvara, and he would dance when Mukunda would sing. And there were a few others, you know, they would play the instruments, they were like a group. And they could just go on and on and on indefinitely. And this Vakreshvara, he would dance. And when I say dance, I don't just mean sort of shuffling around, moving from one side to the other, or, you know, easy going. But his dancing was like flying. Yeah. His dancing was like flying. And he would dance for 72 hours. 3 days and three nights. And Mukunda would sing. And they would not be tired at all. But everyone else would be exhausted, so they'd stop. And the Vakreshvara, the dancer, he prayed to Lord Chaitanya. He said, my dear Lord, please give me wings. Please give me wings. Because I want to fly and dance. So anyway, Mukunda, he was very special singer and very special devotee. Not just your ordinary run-of-the-mill devotee. He was a very special person. So all the devotees there at Srivas's house, they were all perplexed. Why did Lord Chaitanya not call Mukunda? And Srivas, whose house it was, Srivas thought, maybe the Lord forgot. So he went to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya just said, okay, we're finished now. And Shiva said, my Lord, just one thing. Just one thing. What about Mukunda? I think you forgot Mukunda. And Lord Chaitanya said, Mukunda? Mukunda? You want me to call Mukunda? Hare Krishna. BTAR, there are seats up here, or I don't know if there are seats there, but please make yourselves comfortable as you're able, and welcome. So Lord Chaitanya expressed to their astonishment, to the astonishment of the devotees, Lord Chaitanya expressed like disgust even, like Mukunda. You want me to call Mukunda? I'm not calling Mukunda. Lord Chaitanya said emphatically, I never want to see that Mukunda again, ever. And he doesn't mean like, you know, for a few days, or a year, or a while, or sometime. He means actually, that's it. Eternally. I don't want to see him again. So everyone was just completely astonished. They didn't know what to think, let alone what to say. But Shivas, he tried to say some things. He said, my Lord, what has happened? What has Mukunda done? We all know him. We've known him for years. And we know him to be a wonderful devotee. Has he done something? What has happened? I don't understand at all. And Lord Chaitanya said, this Mukunda, he is such a person. He comes to me with a flower in his hand to offer to me. But in his other hand, behind his back, he has a club. So he gives me the flower, I take it, he pulls out the club to hit me. And Srivas just, he couldn't understand. He said, my Lord, what do you mean? I've never seen him do anything or say anything against you at all. What do you mean? And then Lord Chaitanya brought out a very interesting point. He said, this Mukunda, his family, who he lives with, because you know in those days they had the extended families, even to some extent there's, it's still going on in India, but in those days very much so. The parents would be there, their children, and when the children would marry, then they would all stay together with their children, and when they would marry, they'd all, so you get this whole huge family. And so Mukunda was living in such a situation, but Lord Chaitanya said that his family members are not really devotees. Some of them are sort of devotees. They're devotees of other forms of Krishna. But they discriminate against Krishna. And they try and put Krishna down. They don't understand that he is the original Supreme Lord. But then some of them are demigod worshippers. They worship Shiva, Durga, Ganesh, and Kali, and so on and so forth. All the devas and devis, demigods and demigoddesses, and they say that they are supreme. And then some of his family members, they are impersonalists. They don't even think that God is a person. They think he is just a light, some energy, some thing, or nothing, or whatever. And they think that this is correct. So, Lord Chaitanya said, so Mukunda, he is living with them. And every night they have discussions. Because you know, in those days, would you believe, in those days they didn't have television. Can you believe it? Maybe some of you cannot believe it. That there was life before television. But there was. Even I remember when there was no television. We would listen to the radio. and even there was no radio one time. And what did people do? Without TV, I mean, what are you meant to do? So, well, they would do things. They would sit around and they would talk. Or read things, recite things, and share like that. So this is what they would do in the evenings. And Mukunda, as a family member, he couldn't avoid it. So he would just get dragged into these discussions. And some nights, those family members who were like Vaishnavas, but from some other sampradaya, they would sort of take charge of the discussion somehow. And they would be saying, yes, Narayan is supreme. Krishna is just his expansion. And Mukunda, not that he agreed, but Mukunda, in order to avoid getting into some, you know, difficult situation, he would just agree. Oh yes, very good, very good. And then the next night, the Shivites, the worshippers of Lord Shiva, they would somehow dominate the discussion that Shiva is supreme. And again, Mukunda, to avoid complications within the family, he would just say, yes, 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 yes. And then other nights someone would say, Durga is supreme. And he would say, yes, of course. And then some other night someone would say, it's all one. We're all God. You're God. You're God. She's God. The dog in the street is God. And Mukunda, to avoid any difficulty, he would just agree, yes, okay. But then in that sort of situation, he would say, yes, right. And Lord Chaitanya is God, which is true. And all those people would agree, yes, yes. Because everyone's God. So Lord Chaitanya must also be God. But he would agree. Not that he actually agreed. But he would go through the motions. Just as a matter of diplomacy and keeping the peace, rather than getting into, you know, big fights every night. And because he had to live with the people. He had to live with the people. But Lord Chaitanya took exception to this. He really, really, really took exception. So therefore he said like that, I don't want to see him again. And he said, you know, whoever he meets, he agrees with them. And when he's with us, he agrees with us. So therefore we think he's very nice. But as soon as he leaves us and joins someone else, he agrees with them and denies us. So it's like that. He's like, he's offering a flower. Oh yes, very nice, very good. But behind his back he's got a club. But I don't agree. I'm against you, really. So Lord Chaitanya said, I will never see him again. Ever. Lord Chaitanya at that time was sitting just inside. And Mukunda and various other devotees were in the courtyard, just by the sort of the doorway into the inner part. So Mukunda heard this and he was devastated. Totally. Totally devastated, naturally. And he just started breaking down. And Srivas came out, and you know, Srivas of course was just bewildered by the whole situation. And Mukunda begged Srivas, Oh, please, please, please ask Lord Chaitanya. Please tell him, I don't mean it. I just say these things because I'm forced to, but I don't mean it. And ask him, please, will he let me see him again sometime at least? So Lord Chaitanya Srivas went back to Lord Chaitanya and asked him again. And Lord Chaitanya said, listen, you ask me again? You mention the name of this person again? And you will never see me again. So Srivas, he didn't know what to do. He went outside. There was Mukunda just totally finished. And again, Mukunda pleaded with her, please somehow do something. So Srivas thought, yes, I must. I have to help this devotee. So he went back to Lord Chaitanya and he begged him, my Lord, you know, I know Srivas and I know why he says these things. I know he doesn't mean it at all. He is an unalloyed devotee. He is not some mixed up character. So please be merciful. Please allow him to see you again, at least sometime. Sometime. Lord Chaitanya thought momentarily. He said, oh, all right. He can see me after 10 million lifetimes. So we might think, 10 million lifetimes? What is that? That's not fair. You know, I thought Krishna, I thought God was on our side. But what is this? This is nasty. He's being mean. But when Mukunda heard that, Mukunda became so happy that I will see my Lord again after 10 million lifetimes. Wow, that is wonderful. So Mukunda, he started jumping and dancing and just crying out uncontrollably, I will see, I will see, I will see. And rolling on the ground and just completely ecstatic. And making a bit of a commotion out in the courtyard. And Lord Chaitanya, and everyone, they heard this. And Lord Chaitanya, he asked Srivas, who's that? What's going on? And Srivas said, that's Mukunda. He's so happy that he's going to see you after 10 million lifetimes. That he's just, you know, he's beside himself with ecstasy. He's so uncontrollably happy. And Lord Chaitanya thought again momentarily. And he said, oh, all right, just bring him now. So they went to get Mukunda. But Mukunda was dancing and jumping and rolling and just wildly running around. They couldn't catch him. But they eventually caught him and brought him back in front of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya said, well, actually, Mukunda offered some very beautiful prayers. That's some very beautiful prayers. And Lord Chaitanya replied, he said, let's see. Oh. Anyway, basically he said to him, to the effect that, I was just testing you. I didn't really take offense. I know. He said, if there was any offense, if you committed any offense, I took it to be like when a little child says something or does something against his parents. Sometimes little child gets upset somehow and says something to his mother or his father, goes to the father to hit him. But the father, it's just a joke. It's not like, oh, he's attacking me. So Lord Chaitanya said, I took it like that. There was no offense. There was no offense, actually. And then Lord Chaitanya said, that actually I know, you have so much devotion for me. You have so much love for me. That how could I not be with you all the time? How could I be away from you? It's not possible. And Lord Chaitanya mentioned some people who saw him in previous appearances, but because they did not have devotion and love, therefore they couldn't appreciate him, therefore they actually offended him. And he gave a number of examples. One of them I find extremely interesting. This is the example of the washerman who Krishna met when he entered Mathura. Krishna left Vrindavan and went to Mathura. In Mathura, he killed Kamsa. But before he killed Kamsa, he was just moving around the streets of Mathura. If you're familiar with Srimad Bhagavatam, you would know that story. And he met Krishna, Balaram, the cowherd boys. They met different people in the streets. They met one florist who was carrying a whole lot of flowers. And he was the king's florist, Kamsa's florist. Kamsa was the king, and Kamsa, of course, was the big, big, big demon. Nasty fellow. But Krishna and Balaram, they stopped that florist, and they said, oh, like little boys, oh, what nice flowers you've got. Wouldn't you like to make some garlands for us? And that florist, he saw these beautiful little boys. And even though the flowers were for Kamsa and he was on his way to deliver them, he was so captivated. He said, yes, let me make some garlands. So he made beautiful garlands and just gave them to Krishna and Balaram and the cowboys. You just take them. And I don't care what Kamsa says. So Krishna blessed him. You'll be happy for the rest of this lifetime, and at the end of this life, you will come back to me in the kingdom of God. But then, they met one washerman, Ndobiwala, and he had a big basket full of freshly washed and ironed cloth belonging to the king. King Kamsa. So it was the best cloth. And Krishna and Balaram, the Kauri boys, they saw this. And they stopped this man. And they said, oh, what nice cloth you've got. Wouldn't you like to give some to us cowherd boys? But now this washerman, he was not so nice. So in a very disdainful, arrogant way, he said, who do you think you are? These are the clothes of the king. Why don't you little cowherd boys just go to the forest and get some leaves and tree bark and use that as clothes and just get out of here. So Krishna did not appreciate that. So what Krishna did? Krishna gave him a slap in the face. In Chatswana, they call it a what happened. And then maybe you don't speak Chatsworth language, that's okay. But he just gave him a slap in the face. But when Krishna gives you a slap, watch out. That man's head fell off. Just fell off. Good night, Washington. That was it. So now Lord Chaitanya is explaining this whole pastime here in the course of the unfolding of this event. And Lord Chaitanya said, that washerman, for many lifetimes, he performed austerities so he could see God. And finally, there, in the streets of Mathura, he saw God. But because he had no devotion, no bhakti, no love, because his heart was hard with his austerities, so even though he saw God face to face as he wanted, but he couldn't appreciate him, and he offended him, and he fell down. But he told, Lord Chaitanya told Mukundan, you, because you are such a sincere devotee, when you heard 10 million lifetimes, you didn't complain that why 10 million lifetimes, it's not fair, I'm a devotee, you can't do that to me, what sort of God are you? He didn't complain, he just accepted. And not only did he accept it, but he was happy. He was extremely happy. So, Lord Chaitanya told him that with your faith, with that faith you have in me, that confidence, you have purchased me. I am now your property, eternally. So he told him, wherever I go, you will come with me. Wherever. And wherever I go, you will sing for me. Eternally. And then, as we mentioned, of course all the devotees were very happy. And the author puts in this first Palastuti, Lord Chaitanya says that wherever I go, you will go with me and you'll sing for me. And the author says, anyone who hears these prayers of Mukunda will sing with him. Anyone who feels happiness by hearing these narrations will certainly meet Lord Chaitanya face to face. So of course, you know, Mukundadat and us, there's a difference, I'm afraid. We're not on the same level. We cannot do the same. You know, anyway, sometimes Krishna takes something away from his devotee. Some little obstacle, challenge appears in the path of the devotee. And sometimes the devotee thinks, Krishna, why did you allow this to happen? You shouldn't have let this happen. You're meant to help me, Krishna. You're not meant to let things get in my way, Krishna. Krishna, you're not doing your job. Like so many people think, Our job is to pray and ask for things. As they say in Hinduism, give me a house and a car and a color TV, Om Jai Jagadisha Hare. We do our job. We ask for things. Now God, He must do His job. What is His job? He must give us the things we ask for. But sometimes, all those things we ask for, they don't just come. And so, if someone is really not very advanced, then they may start getting a little, complaining to Krishna. That, come on Krishna, you've got to do your job better. You're being naughty, Krishna. You're not doing your part. I'm doing my part. You're not doing your part. But at least in our own ways, humble ways, because we are certainly not on the level of Mukunda, but at least we should try to imbibe the principle and try to apply the principle in our lives. Because we will get, not if we will get some challenges and obstacles, but we will get from time to time. And that's all there is to it. That's all. Becoming Krishna conscious does not mean that now, utopia, everything will go my way. Whenever I buy a lottery ticket, I will win every time. Whatever I want will come my way. If I ever fall sick, all I will need to do is say, I want to feel better, and immediately I'll be better. This is not what we can expect. And we should not expect like that, because we'll be disappointed if we expect like that. But by the grace of the Lord, we can rise above the ups and downs of material existence and come to the spiritual platform. So all the fluctuations that go on in this world, they won't affect us, but rather we'll be absorbed in spiritual happiness on that higher spiritual platform. Yeah. And we'll look back at our material existence before and how we used to be, concerned about getting ahead and doing this and getting that and all this sort of thing. And we'll laugh at ourselves. What sort of silly fool was I? Now I've got something so much better. And we'll just leave all of that behind. So we should try and follow in the footsteps of Mukunda in this regard. Yeah. Yes. That humble mood and being willing to accept the mercy of the Lord without complaining and making a scene about it. And then continuing on enthusiastically in Krishna consciousness, not becoming, like losing our enthusiasm and just sort of fizzling out. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So what do you think of that? Does that sound okay? Good idea? Let's try. Now we don't have time to go on to another pastime. We'll do that tomorrow. That's fine. No problem. But there is a second part of our program tonight, actually.